Our scripture today is from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 24 to 37. Let's pray before we get into this. Lord, we come to you this day, thanking you for your presence, for your mercy, for your love, for sharing with us your word. And we pray that what is read today in the scripture, we know that this is your word. We pray that the expounding upon it is also from you. Prepare our hearts, our minds to receive what it is that you have for us. And anything that's not from you, Lord, we pray is forgotten. But that which is from you, we ask you, Lord, that we are encouraged, we are challenged, that we are able to draw closer to you and to hear what it is that you say to us on to our hearts, to our minds, which we understand might be different from what you say to others. Help us to hear what it is you want us to, that we may know you all the more. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 24 to 37. Hear now God's word. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked John the Baptist, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we find ourselves at the beginning of Lent. Now, we just had Ash Wednesday. That was truly the big beginning of Lent. And during Ash Wednesday, I had shared with you that there are 40 days in Lent. Right? I mean, most of us know that already. But of course, there's not 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. How many days are between Ash Wednesday and Easter? Something like 47, because though there be 40 days in Lent, we don't count Sundays. Now, Lent in itself is a time of, I don't know, it's a challenging time. It's one of my favorite times, but I do find it quite challenging, because it's a time when we reflect on our need for God. The time when we remember our weaknesses, our sins, are those things in our lives that we would rather not have. Those things in our lives that we need to turn our back on so that we can turn our front and face God. Now, I know how difficult an exercise is that is. How many of you have tried dieting recently? Dieting is a very difficult task. It's the task of turning your back on those things that you don't like, I mean, those things that you do like, and eating those things that you know are beneficial for you. Now, you may like those things, but, you know, one of the worst things that ever happened to me in my life is Girl Scout cookies. I love Girl Scout cookie season. Girl Scout cookie season is like Christmas all over again. My favorite Girl Scout cookies are Samoas. I just love Samoas. My wife loves Thin Mints. I love Samoas. And those other things are really good too. The chocolate with the peanut butter filled inside. So it's called Tagalongs. Is that right? Tagalong? Tagalongs are like my second. Samoas, Tagalongs. So Samoas, Tagalongs, Thin Mints. And way down at their bottom. Stephanie's happy they're way down at the bottom because for her they're way at the top. It means I won't touch them. So trying to not eat an entire carton of Samoas when they get there is extremely difficult for me. Girl Scout cookie season is the worst when it comes to dieting. However, the second worst thing that's ever happened to, well, I mean, it's not really the second worst thing, but it's pretty high up there, is the day that Aldi's started to get generic Girl Scout cookies. No longer do I have to wait until Girl Scout cookie season to eat Samoas. Now I can just go to Aldi's and buy their generic Samoas, which aren't exactly the same, but they're close enough for me to eat at least half a carton per sitting. And they got Tagalongs too. And those are pretty close to the original. And not eating those, if I have a Samoa and a banana sitting next to each other on the counter, I know which one I should eat. I know which one I'm going to eat. Lent is that choice every day between what it is we know we should do and what it is we know we want to do, which doesn't always overlap. Lent is a time for us to sacrificially and to give of ourselves to the Lord every day. There's this saying that Jesus has said to his disciples while they were sleeping in the Garden of Eden in the Garden of Gethsemane, besides praying. Jesus said to them, I know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lent is a time to try and give and devote ourselves to the Lord so that our flesh gets strengthened as best as it can so that it becomes in line with what the Spirit desires. Those things of God. And doing that every day, confessing, saying, Lord, I need your help here, I need your help there. Lord, I'm weak here, I'm weak there. Doing that every day is a tiring and tiring thing. Which is why, during Lent, Sundays aren't counted during the days of Lent. Sundays are the oasis. They're the times where we're able to sit together like this and be refreshed that God is with us. That we're not constantly thinking about the things we can't do, but during Sundays we gather together and be reminded what Christ has already done for us. I like that this first Sunday is talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a love for God like few others. When John the Baptist started his ministry, he had quite the following. People came out into the desert from all over just to hear him speak, just to see what it is he was all about. And when John the Baptist started talking about being refreshed, being renewed, how many people in our lives here want to start over with a few things? Wish that we had a fresh beginning. A clean slate, a chance to do it all over again, but this time do it right. John the Baptist started talking about that kind of stuff, and people started listening because it's what they desired, and he created a following. But for John the Baptist, he said the only one who can truly do that, besides this baptism is a sign that you want to do that. But the one who can truly help you to do that is to come. People started liking John the Baptist so much that they started following him. not just as people who enjoyed his teaching, but as people who wanted to learn under him and teach from him, students. One day, as John the Baptist was teaching, he said, "Look, there is the Son of God." And immediately when he said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God," two of his followers left him and went and followed Jesus. Now, I could imagine, as being a pastor, over the years, I have had people leave the church. I've made mistakes. I've said things I shouldn't have said. I've done things that have angered people, and they've left. And every time someone leaves a church, it's hard for a leader, for a pastor to feel that. It was hard for me to feel that. John the Baptist, however, when they left him and followed Jesus, he couldn't be more happy. Later on in John the Baptist's life, he went and he sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was truly the one, having moments of doubt in his life. And Jesus said, "Look at all that's being done." And John the Baptist said, "I must decrease so that Christ would increase." You see, during Lent, we focus a lot on ourselves, on our own problems, on our own issues, on our own faults, on our own sins. But it never stops there. We only focus on the things that are difficult for us so that we may serve others better, that Christ might use us more. If we have all of these sins and all these issues and all of these hang-ups and all these faults and all these limits, and we can't take our mind off of them, what good are we to others? But if we're able to give them to God, we're able to confess them, if we're able to let them go and ask Jesus to perfect them, we can serve and love others better. We can ask God to take what we are and use us for God's purpose, to help us love one another in such a way that they actually see the love, that they actually see the light and are able to grow themselves. I pray that as a church and as individuals of the church, that during Lent we're able to give ourselves in God in such a way that we can be transformed so that we can be better servants to one another, better servants to this community of Trafford, so that Trafford and those whom we encounter know that they are loved. That's what John the Baptist shows us. That it's not about us, but it's about that others see Christ and see love. I pray that that happens for us, for me, for this church, and for this community. I leave you with this benediction today. Always remember that Christ is risen, Christ is with us. Amen. And amen. Go in peace, knowing that the love of God goes with you wherever you are.